confused. It is the old curriculum or the new? You know?
New.
Oh dear. So what do we have to cover?
Small okay. Articles in the treatise and the large catechism and I guess the small catechism.
Leaving out the formula of Concord?
Yeah.
That led to Confession 3, isn't it?
Yeah.
I see. What a pity. But I love the formula of Concord as the outgrowth of it all. Well, we'll do whatever we have to. My reading list will be misapplied, so half of it you'll have to ignore as a formula of Concord, and we'll stick to what we've been told to do and finish the formula another time. Okay?
Yep.
Maybe could you leave one sheet here and pass the rest. The lady assisting me is my good friend, Lady Tatiana Ravalanjata, the wife of Pastor Charlie Ravalanjata, originally from Madagascar, now from Toronto, Canada. He'll be showing up here shortly. They're multilingual, so we can address questions in Russian, French, or English. Bon appetit. Well, since it is a division, I wonder. I suppose we should read the introduction. 35 to the 58. And so we do have a large catechism, small catechism, small called articles, and a tractate. So we do cover all that, right? Okay. So we'll skip the formula, which takes up the second half. So there'll be no second examination. Put it all together under one. Okay?
Woohoo!
Drag it out as best we can. So for next time, for Wednesday, we have the introductory reading in Vinti. That'll give us some substance to talk about. And we haven't read anything yet, so there's not much to discuss at the moment. But please keep in mind that we're a confessional church, and our confessional documents are tremendously important. But they're not an obstacle to mission work. They help mission work. Mission and content go together. You cannot do mission work unless you have a serious content. And our confessional books document for us the serious content of the Christian faith. Okay. So, after these introductions, we'll be able to have more detailed discussions. When it comes to the catechism, how many chief parts are in the catechism?
Six.
Have any of you been to Ascension lately? Ascension Church? They have six. Stained glass windows. The 60 parts of the catechism. And it was done by my middle lad, Barry, who used to work at the seminary and now is an engineer. He doesn't have to clean people's toilets anymore. And now he's liberated. He loves that work. And he painted those stained glass windows for Ascension Church. So I think he did a pretty wonderful job. The Catechism teaches us rightly to distinguish law and gospel. That's the most important thing we can do. If we confuse law and gospel, then there's no basis of salvation. Salvation is in the gospel alone, not in the law. The law tells us what's wrong with us. The gospel gives us new life and faith. in that sense. Are there any preliminary issues that arise that you'd like to raise? Maybe some strange thing to out of the capitalism? Or difficult to explain? Or did you have any violent discussions with anybody? One of my... Oh dear, what's cracking there? Am I doing that?
I doubt it. No, I don't think that's just probably going to happen.
I hope it won't blow up. It is 7-Eleven, isn't it?
No.
Oh dear. Yes, please.
Question on the Large Catechism on the First Commandment. It says on page 386, the intention of this commandment, therefore, is to require true faith and confidence of heart which flies straight to the one true God and cling to Him alone. Of our worship or faith flying straight to the one true God, how do we justify bowing to a crucifix? How is that not violating that commandment? Because it seems that not flying straight to the one true God, it's going to this graven image. How do I?
We have to be very careful with that. And in our church, when we have the crucifix, and then there's the gospel. So I bow to the crucifix as a symbol, and then to the gospel book as reality. Maybe I should sit up a bit, sorry. Maybe try to approach the microphone. I hate these secret weapons behind them. So, yes, we have to be careful not to make an idol of the crucifix. We bow as a symbol, but the reality is, of course, God in the gospel. I don't like that prayer that says, bless this church and all who come together here to offer this and that. That's quite wrong. I much prefer the statement of the Northside Church of Christ, which says, Northside Church of Christ meets here. You know, the church is not a building. The church is a people who constitute it. And you should always remember that. God does not dwell in buildings made of stone or wood. So, we honor the crucifix as a symbol of God. And that's certainly enough. We don't commit idolatry. We don't confuse the crucifix with God Himself. My mother, in a DP camp, we were after World War II, a Russian DP camp, and everybody was Russian Orthodox. And she had to babysit for some teenage lads. And she forbade them to invade the biscuit jar without authority. So, when they wanted to do it anyway, they put a big obstacle in front of the icon so God couldn't see it. And then they invaded the biscuit jar. Such utter superstition. God is not found in icons, but He is found in the incarnate Christ and His blessed word and sacrament. And anything else, we don't worship, we merely honor it outwardly as a symbol of reality. Yes, please.
Would you also put bowing to the font and to the hosts as a symbol, or would you say that's the reality?
We bow to the host because that is Christ Himself.
Right.
Christ's body and blood are there. And wherever He is, there is His humanity and His divinity together.
And isn't that where the tradition of bowing toward or reverencing towards the altar is from?
Yes.
Not in fact the crucifix.
But the thing is, some crazy high churches. I remember I went with my first roommate in Bronxville, and I was preparing for the ministry. And for the first time of my life, I saw the horrible sign on the Lutheran church in the Bronx. Masses at 9, 10, and 11. What is this wrong place? Went inside, and the altar boys were bowing and scraping before a metallic, shiny, silvery thing, whether reserving the hosts from the previous meeting. That's utter idolatry. When the service is finished, it's no longer the Lord's body and blood.
But the confessions don't say that. Don't the confessions specifically say that the body and blood is present for the meal, therefore we
yes.
eat it? However, it doesn't say
also,
when it ceases to be the body and blood.
We also honor the body and blood. But when it's done, it's done. And there's a long section in Luther about it, that when the service is finished and all have communicated, then the real presence is over.
But that's not in Scripture.
Well, but the thing is, the body and blood of Christ are not meant to be there permanently. So when the Roman Catholics carry a host in the street, that's not the body of Christ. That's pure misuse.
I just think it's also bad how many of our altar guilds will throw away the unused consecrated wine or
yes.
grape juice, as some use.
And
I think that's also very shocking.
The consecrated elements left over should be eaten by the pastor and the elders and the and maybe the deaconesses and the people who are there. Yes.
You seem to be making a difference between bowing and worshiping, but both of them are prohibited in Scripture. And I wonder, are you making that distinction because of the Seventh Ecumenical Council that distinguished between Latroio and Proskuneo? Because both of those words are prohibited in the Septuagint. I was wondering if you could
yes.
kind of help me out with that.
But we no longer belong to the legalistic Old Testament. They had a legalism there, and we're not bound to that. So even prohibited meat is not prohibited to us. But I think fast foods are more dangerous than prohibited foods. And especially things in tins that will give you Alzheimer's disease. So we cannot take the Old Testament literalistically. That'd be Phariseeism. And therefore, we don't prohibit the making of images, which is a sub-provision under the First Commandment. And we don't accept that. Otherwise, photography would be a satanic art. There's nothing wrong with making images. But we mustn't worship the image. Honor it, yes. Do it, use it as a symbol, but not never confuse it with the reality.
So we're to go by the First Commandment, the part that talks about not worshiping it, but we can disregard the bowing part. Is that my
right, thing? Okay. We honor it as a symbol of God, but we don't worship it as God. And we should make that clear how we behave in the church as well. That we don't carry on about our diaphora as if this were God himself.
I'd also hope that we talk about the third commandment in the large catechism,
yes.
because the Sabbath and the eighth day are very powerful symbols that can be very helpful, but it's very difficult to talk in those terms now without seeming legalistic. So maybe balancing appreciation of historical liturgy with, I just hope we talk about it.
Yes. And you know, my best reference to that is the Russian language. Do you know that in Russian the word for Sunday is Voskresenye, resurrection. So deeply has Christianity permeated the language. Even these communist swine had talked about the resurrection when they talked about their weekend. So that's remarkable. So always think of Sunday as celebrating the resurrection. That's what we're doing every Sunday. And we do it with the Lord's Supper. We receive the body of the resurrected Savior into our rapidly unraveling bodies. So thank you very, very much. And we'll take it up systematically when we get to those points. Since you haven't had a chance to read much, there's no point sitting around just sort of stumbling through whatever we wish. We can go and read the stuff and then have a fuller discussion when next we meet on in midweek, Wednesday. Do you realize that in English, Wednesday means Wotan's Day, the chief of the German gods? Who cares about that now?
I just wish it were easier to spell.
I know. By the way, were any of you at the fourth year banquet last year?
Yes.
Were you at the banquet? If you don't object, I'd like to tell you a wonderful story from Montana. I better get close to the microphone, please. Yes, the district president himself told it. There was this bear who went to a pub in Montana and wanted a beer. Where is it? We didn't serve bears. Well, then I'll eat that woman at the end of the bar. So after he swallowed her, he demanded another beer. And the one bartender said, "We don't serve bears, we're on drugs." "I'm not on drugs." "Well, the bar beats you, ain't." That comes from the Montana district prison. So, have a jolly good few days. I hope to see you Wednesday, midweek, not Wotan's Day, but in midweek of our good Christian week. So next we celebrate another week. See you then.